name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I recently was watching a television show where a criminal lawyer is credited as a witness who has desperately had a critical bearing in the case against his client. In the course of the witness's long testimony, there were two occasions where he used phrases that were quite unusual for him. In his summation before the jury, the defense lawyer claimed that nothing but the work of a coach could have put these phrases into the witness's mouth. He demonstrated perjury and the collusive repeating of a prepared story. Now, when the four evangelists witnessed to Jesus' resurrection, and in the testimony of witnesses such as in today's gospel, there is no collusion. Considering the importance of Jesus' resurrection, that's really quite remarkable. Although the story is essentially the same, in all of them, they all tell it with different emphasis. Now, in our gospel today from John, John draws our attention to the something of importance, and that is the empty tomb. It was the first day of the week when Mary Magdalene came to the tomb. It was Jewish custom for relatives to visit the tomb of a beloved departed person for at least 3 days after the burial. Now, Jesus' friends couldn't go on the Sabbath because that would be breaking the law. So on Sunday, Mary Magdalene's overpowering love for Jesus could wait no longer. Early in the morning, we read that when it was still dark, she went to the tomb. And on her arrival there was enough light for her to notice that the huge stone, which opened and closed Jewish graves at the time, had been moved and that the body was gone. To her, that could mean a couple of things. Either grave robbers or the desecration of Jesus' bodies by enemies moving it to somewhere else. Now, both of these are quite easily possible. Grave robbers weren't uncommon in those days, and the Jewish authorities, the Jewish leaders themselves, were afraid of Jesus' followers stealing the body and then saying that Jesus had risen from the dead. So Mary excitedly ran back to the city to get support and the help from Peter, the leader of the disciples, and John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, why Peter? By now, everyone surely knew of Peter's denial of Jesus, which showed his weak cowardly side. But you see, there was another side to Peter. Despite his momentary lapse, Peter had the quality of leadership. Now, Jesus' confidence in him wasn't displaced because shortly after, that Jesus placed even further confidence in him by telling him to feed his flock. Why John? He was the beloved disciple. He had a place of great honour at the Last Supper. And on that occasion, Peter asked him to identify the traitor. And during Jesus' trial, he had helped to get Peter entry into the court of the high priest's palace. And at the foot of the cross, Jesus had entrusted to John the care of his mother. Now, by the time Peter and John arrived at the tomb, there was more light. There was enough light to see better into the inner of the burial chamber. They had sensed something very strange about the burial plots. The cloth that had come at Jesus' head had been set apart, whereas the rest of the linen didn't look as though Jesus had even taken it off, or as there had been they'd been removed by him. The intact folds of those cloth appeared almost as though the body had evaporated out of them. Now, putting everything together, the amazing truth seemed to be that Jesus had risen. Initially, that thought hadn't occurred to any of those three people when they arrived with him too. Hadn't occurred. Now, in retrospect, one might say that the Old Testament, there are some Old Testament passages that have suggested the resurrection. And perhaps the apostles should have understood. While making true that life may be fully understood only backwards, it must be lived forwards. The Gospel frankly admits that the apostles didn't yet understand the scriptures about Jesus rising from the dead. So it wasn't the scriptures that convinced the apostles. We're told that both Peter and John saw, but it's interesting to note that the Gospel records that only John saw and believed. Now, seeing isn't necessarily believing. I think seeing plus a lot of loving, these are what it takes to enable one to understand what others cannot. To know other people in their uniqueness as persons and not merely objects. Love, not only intellect, necessary. Love is the quality that will enable us to recognise the Lord in our family, in our parish, in other people. And so the beloved disciple, John, believed without a major sign. It's so important that Jesus later commended in the form of a beatitude that it's those who have not seen and have believed who are indeed blessed. John's faith, John's trust, and his love were three dimensions of one reality. Total commitment to Jesus. Now, for Peter, as for everyone, growth in faith and trust and love is slow, can be slow. But the fascinating thing about that is that growth in any one of these areas increases in a remarkable way growth in all three. Now, this holds true of human relations as well as our relationship with God. When we love others, our trust in them grows so that we believe in them, that we hope for great things. Our faith tells us that the risen Lord lives in and loves every person. And he accepts and done to himself whatever we do to one another. And when we say or sing, "Jesus Christ is risen today," we don't mean that Jesus was risen once upon a time. We don't mean that. We mean that the risen Christ is all around us. The eyes, the faces of those sitting beside us, the bread, the wine, the altar, and the people we meet all the time. He walks on earth today, teaching, healing, touching, suffering, dying, and rising. If we go seeking the risen Lord, Jesus, with faith and hope and love, we will find him. Seek him, find him, love him in every person by serving their needs. then truly, not only is Christ risen, but we too are already living a risen life by his power and his grace. Now, in contemplating Jesus' resurrection, this central mystery of our faith, I think we may profitably ask ourselves, which of the three witnesses do we personally identify with? Do you identify with Mary Magdalene, whose love and compassion couldn't wait to arrive at the complete truth about Jesus? Or do we identify with Peter, who acted impetuously but wholeheartedly was a born leader but was painfully aware of his shortcomings, or who on occasion had no insight into the meaning of the world? Or do we identify with John, whose young heart saw, loved greatly in a special way, and generously believed? Which one are we? So today, as we celebrate this magnificent event, may the risen Lord provide each one of us with the grace to grow in love. May the joy of Easter cast its glow.